Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Welcome to another exciting edition of The Thought Police. I'm Mike Graham, and instead of Kevin O'Sullivan's voice, you're about to hear a very different voice. Who are you?
Alex!
Alex has dropped Alex. In. Alex Phillips is here in lieu of Kevin O'Sullivan, who decided ridiculously to go on holiday. And he's got a Cornwall, apparently.
That's because he's got to take his, like, wretched dog with him everywhere.
Little dog, yeah.
I mean, dog people, I know you're a dog person, but my dog
is so old and sort of, you know, grumpy now. He doesn't actually even like going on holiday, so he'd rather just stay where he is. Yeah. So you don't have to worry about taking him anywhere.
Well, you just put a mountain of biscuits in the corner.
Yeah, well, and if we go away, we just get somebody to come into the house and look after him in the house. He doesn't even like to go to anybody else's house.
Fair.
So, you know.
Chill.
But apparently Chasbo is quite difficult and nobody can look after
him. I never understand when people have these dogs and they can't go anywhere. I'm like, why get a dog then?
Well, I mean, you wouldn't be surprised to know that Kevin's dog is quite grumpy and sort of yappy. Because he's a bit like Kev, you know. He's just like, yeah. Shut up. You know.
Is he also a vegetarian, Kev's dog?
No, the dog is actually a beast when it comes to food. I was with him in a pub one day in Hampstead, and we ordered a couple of bowls of chips. And the dog launched itself at the guy as he was bringing the chips out, knocked one of the bowls out of his hand, straight onto the floor. And before you could say, the dog's got the chips, he'd literally eaten them all.
He'd eaten all of them.
And I've also seen him taking a burger out of Kevin's
wife's
hand.
Have you ever seen Kev make light work of a tuna sandwich?
I've got a big bugbear with Kevin and his eating.
Yeah, me too. You didn't have to sit by him.
Yeah.
Like, co-presenting.
Well, I've seen him, because he would turn up to do this podcast, right? I mean, in the old days, we used to record it in the pub before we all worked at weird times and we couldn't get together.
Why are we doing this at the pub? I don't know, because I've sort of got out of the habit.
That would have been good.
We'd have had some good atmosphere. Yeah. We could do it at the pub.
We used to do it in the Horseshoe all the time. It kind of changed because you guys started working in the afternoons, and so when you did the show from one to three, he was never in the pub.
But everyone knows that, you know, if you're going to present well, you need to be
well oiled. Yeah, and also, well, we used to spend a lot more time in the pub than we do now. I mean, it's difficult for me now because I'm sort of at the other end now. I'm getting up at 4:20 in the morning. And he's working until 10 o'clock at night, so it's kind of, it doesn't really gel. But yeah, I mean, he would turn up and it would be, say, I don't know, after my show finished at 1, with a sandwich, the weirdest one, and he eats the weirdest sandwiches. He would eat, this was a tomato and peanut butter sandwich.
The one that wife made, because there's the wife's sandwiches, and then there's the tuna sandwich, which happens. Wife's sandwich is eaten for breakfast.
Okay.
He's like a school kid, you know, she packs him his lunchbox, and the minute he arrives, he's like, scoff the sandwich.
Yeah. And I'm like, why are you eating as soon as you've got to do something? Why are you eating at home? Why are you not eating, you know, before you get here? Why the fucking hell have you come here with this stupid sandwich? So that every time I try to talk to you, you've got your mouth full. Mm. Sounds ridiculous. Anyway, we're not eating.
The thing is, with Kevin, the tuna sandwich, I had to sit next to him, and it was like the breath on that is like I'd be motting someone out for half an hour before coming on air.
That's not a good look. Anyway, listen, welcome to the Thought Police. This is where we really have free speech, because you can call people all sorts of names.
Oh, yeah.
We were once asked by Sadiq Khan's people, because somebody was trying to get an interview with him, if we could take down one of the podcasts we put up in which we called Sadiq Khan a cunt.
I'm afraid I can't.
To which I said, well, the problem is that we call him a cunt pretty much in every episode, so you'd have to take them all down.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm not saying we should be calling him that today, because he's not particularly
Well, Sadiq Khan's people are so sort of, they are the thought police.
Oh, right? Yeah.
So they're so sort of keen on protecting his reputation. They're listening to all the podcasts world.
Well, the trouble is that sometimes this stuff goes viral because, once it gets into the wrong hands and all these people go, oh, listen to these horrible, ghastly, misogynistic, racist bigots. They're calling people horrible names and it all kind of, all escalates, and it's not really a question of whether they're listening to it outright, but it's a question of them, being aware of stuff. And then they say, the complaints people are like, people that complain all the fucking time about things that you've said, or things that you've said on the radio, or things you've said on TV, or things you've written. I mean, you've done quite a few sort of controversial...
Every single time I come off air, I think, well, that's the one that's going to get me fired. I probably went a bit far that time, but so far I'm still here.
So far, I'm surviving. And I think it's important as well. I don't want to turn into too serious a conversation, but I think it's important that you push the boundaries, because look at where you get to. If you don't push the boundaries, if you don't start going, hang on a minute, actually, I don't think a woman who's got a cock is actually
that's
a woman.
Crazy.
And that's where you end up, because you go, oh, and so many people have said to me, Noah Hoffman, who works at the Sun, she said when she was at university about 10 years ago, she said if she had said that, a woman, a trans woman's not a woman, she would have literally been, probably kicked out of university.
Because they
wouldn't have, because the wokest had taken over to such an extent.
But what I don't understand is how many ordinary people got sucked up in all of this, because they sucked off then talking about boxes.
It's easy to say.
But how many people just got drawn into it when it was always fucking obvious a woman is a woman, a man's a man? And at what point, why was it so difficult for people to understand that men with fucking massive gonads and beard should not be in kiddies' loos?
No, it doesn't make any sense at all. But that's the thing, you're ending up dealing with the sort of the emperor's new clothes, and everybody's standing around going, well, of course, you can see the emperor's wearing some finery, and you go, no, he's actually fucking bollock naked. Is he? No, I don't see that. And the sort of the madness of the crowd takes over, and you're suddenly the nutter because you're the one pointing at him going, he's not wearing any clothes.
Right. And yet you see the people who go on these marches, the trans march lot, and they're all visibly mentally ill.
Yes.
They still think COVID's around. They've all got that fucking mask on, the short fringe, rainbow coloured clothes. It's like, how are these people made? They didn't exist in the 1940s or the 1950s.
And their speech is really violent, and it's vile, and they're horrible fucking sort of people. They've got these ghastly, dark thoughts about what they want to do to people. They don't just want to. I don't know if you saw one of the posters that they were carrying around on Saturday, if you don't like trans women, why don't you give yourself a DIY lobotomy? And there was a picture of a dagger going into somebody's eye.
They're really violent, mentally ill individuals. I miss it when kooky people were like goths and stuff.
Mm.
Goths were great. Why do we have to have all these fucking short fringe socialist worker party blue-haired, rainbow-wearing weirdos?
I know, who absolutely hate you because of what you think and because you don't agree with them. And by the way, what they believe in is so completely bonkers mad. These are the same people that think you could be a furry or you can have one of 72 genders. And I blame a lot of this on the schools and the unis, because they've been teaching them all this shite.
But when you've got a grown-ass politician taking them seriously and going, well, the trans people in my community, it's that I'm an ally. It's like, have you seen this fucking nutter? Have you seen what they look like and how they're speaking and the weird language they use and the fact they've got a mask on, and you're a grown-ass politician and you're siding with them?
Yes. Like, and that's where Labour have got themselves into such a terrible place. And I suppose the only people who are even worse than them are the Greens and the fucking Lib Dems and Ed Davey.
I hate that man.
Ed Davey's such a wanker, isn't he?
Why has he turned politics into Takeshi's Castle?
I know.
I wish he'd fucking fall off a jet ski and just drown. Just fuck off already. Because it's all the Waitrose women who probably rub themselves off every night thinking about him. Oh, isn't he lovely, sir?
Surely no. Surely he doesn't have any redeeming qualities as a sexual man, does he?
I think there's a certain type of woman who doesn't want sex anymore, and they probably think Ed Davey's going to be really nice and make them tea in the morning.
You wear a nice sweater.
He's really nice.
Yeah.
People with upwards inflection, they probably think Ed Davey's really lovely.
Yeah, he's very thoughtful. You know, I mean, I was on with Jeremy Carr this week, and he said, well, you know, he was asking the question, what is a man? And I said, well, I think a man should be strong. I think a man should be a leader. I think he should be, you know, decisive. You know, all of these kind of words that you associate, or you used to associate with masculinity. And I got loads of shit on Twitter, as you would imagine, from these kind of, you know, new men.
Soy boys.
Who are sort of going, oh, you know, listen to this old dinosaur. He thinks that men are stronger than women. And, well, guess what? They fucking are, actually, in many ways. And so that doesn't mean that women are weak. Overall, it just means that, you know, when it comes to physical strength, tend to be stronger than women. And you know, if you're a weak man, you're less of a man, as far as I'm concerned, you know. And I mean that about mental weakness as well. And that's why Keir Starmer, to me, isn't a proper man.
Because he's so weak.
He's such a drip. He's so boring. Can you imagine not even having sex with him, just having a drink with him? Just talking to him would be fucking torture.
Is he one of those teetotalers? I bet he is.
Well, I'll tell you what he is. He's a vegetarian.
Oh, they're right? All the Hitlers are.
You know, so you know, apparently he's been a vegetarian for a very long time.
Fucking hell.
But, you know, I just don't understand why he's so awkward, why he's so kind of incapable of communicating.
Because he hasn't eaten meat for 20 years.
Yeah.
Like Kev.
Right. I mean, but Kev's at least angry most of the time. I mean, you know, I reckon Starmer gets angry a lot. I reckon he wakes up in the morning angry. I think he's pissed off that he finally got the job that he wanted and now he doesn't know what to do with it. And everybody thinks he's fucking it up.
Yeah.
And he is fucking it up in spades.
But he must sit in the cabinet and look around the table and just go, Christ alive, is this the dreck I've got to deal with? That absolute fucking moronic spastic Angela Rayner.
Oh.
It's not because she's working class, it's because she actually is genuinely thick.
Yeah.
That absolute twat Lammy, who's just an embarrassment. Ed fucking Miliband, who's got worse congestion than Starmer.
Yeah.
Bridget Phillipson, who wouldn't even qualify to be a supply teacher.
Yeah.
He must look around and just go, for fuck's sake.
And you've forgotten about the fake solicitor, Jonathan Reynolds, you know, the man who lied for years about the fact that he used to be a solicitor when he wasn't. What kind of people do that? What kind of maniac conceals the truth about what they did? Because it's not good enough, and so they decided to make something up.
Oh, yeah, of course, and Rachel Reeves as well.
Rachel
Reeves
and her fake CV, and, you know, the book that she plagiarised.
When you think back to politics of old, right, when you think, I love them all over, and you have people like Heseltine and Nigel Lawson and, you know, Margaret Thatcher and Edwina Curry, and, you know, you had sort of big, strong characters.
Right.
When you look around the Parliament now, Nigel Farage is sitting there like Emperor of the World because everybody else is literally the most sad, pathetic, stupid, weak, ridiculous, laughable, would have been bullied at school.
Yeah.
You know, dweeb.
They're
on
like
earth.
Children as well, aren't they? They are literally so immature. And he and his fellow band of brothers, if you like, you know, have really made a difference. And I mean, the amount of cut through that they've had since they've been in.
Mm.
And for those who don't know, I mean, you worked with Nigel, you were in the Brexit Party with him, you were in Brussels with him, which was must have been quite a good laugh, actually.
Oh, well, we had a time. We had a time.
I mean, you and I have spoken about it, but we might get into a bit of that. Because again, if they think he's sitting there and worrying about the fact that, you know, everybody hates him because he's so right wing. I mean, he spent an entire lifetime of being in rooms like that, in chambers of Brussels Parliament and all the rest of it.
I thought you were going to talk about the party then when you said...
The party?
Do you remember the lockdown, the party?
Oh, well, we could talk about that. But I mean, I suppose nobody will care now.
No, it was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the thing that worried me the other day that I read was that the World Health Organization have got us all signed up to some kind of new fucking remit, which is that we have to get out of it. This is coming from the organization. I've forgotten what the name of them is.
Not the World Health Organization.
No, not the World Health Organization. The group that Molly Kingsley's in. You know,
we don't know the vaccines organization.
Yeah,
Freedom or something.
No. It's the ones that looked after the kids.
This is a weird game show organization.
Never mind. Anyway,
World Health Organization.
They've basically spotted that if we don't opt out of this World Health Organization remit, that we will be subjected to whatever they then say if there's another pandemic.
So King Tedros can literally be like, you're all going to stay in your house.
Yeah, us for them. So it's us for them, isn't it?
It's weird.
Us for them is the name of it.
There's so many fucking odd people who just sit at home scrolling on social media in their little groups. And I'm an ally of this cause, and I get this badge, and I only leave the house if it's marching for Palestine. And all of these people, they would fucking love another lockdown.
Oh, they would.
You know it.
Because they absolutely loved the first one. Because you could give them all a sense of moral superiority by saying, look, we're not being reckless. All you terrible reckless
people. Because they're scared of their own shadow. There's so many
weirdos. I don't think it's even that. I think they actually enjoy being told what to do. I think they actually quite like being controlled. Because they're so fucking incapable of having a life of their own that it's easier for them to be told, well, you can't go there and you can't do this. And if you want to walk outside, you're going to have to spend at least, 5 minutes with a mask on. You're going to have to walk 3 feet behind everybody's in front. You know, all of that nonsense.
I mean, when I think back to the pandemic, one of the weirdest things was the whole, when you walked into a pub, you had to walk through this door and out that door, and you had to wear your mask. But when you sat down opposite the one person you had to sit down opposite, you could take your mask off.
Yeah, because apparently below head height. But the restaurants were like that. So it was below head height, apparently there was no problem. But the air above head height was dangerous.
But also, why are the arrows on the floor? That walking in a particular... It's like doing the cokey-cokey or stuff you get in a car. I know. It's fucking weird.
It was very, very strange. But, I mean, in terms of the European Parliament, you were there. Let's talk about that a bit. I mean, that must have been a blast in all sorts of ways because you weren't even allowed to speak for more than a minute. Was it a minute or two minutes?
Well, this is the thing, right? There is nothing to do when you're elected to the European Parliament because the Parliament doesn't make legislation, it doesn't amend legislation. There's nothing to do. It only meets once a month.
Right.
Where you, if you're lucky, you might be able to make a 1 minute speech and that's it. They turn your microphone off after a minute. And there's never anyone in the chamber, considering there's like 700 odd MEPs. Yeah. You go in.
So what
and
do they all
like,
do?
They go to Strasbourg for the jolly.
Right.
They go to Strasbourg literally to go out to restaurants and sit in the wine bars and they don't do anything. And what's more, when you're an MEP, you are treated like you're Madonna turning up at a concert. You've got a chauffeur-driven car. There's actually a little red carpet, your own special door.
Right.
Bars in Parliament just for the MEPs. Amazing. Even when you go to a little coffee shop in the Parliament, there's like the normal people queue and the MEP place where he can go straight in front or she and just, get served first. And so all these people... There were people in the Labour Party especially who had been in that European Parliament for 20 years, probably making equivalent of about £1 million a term.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not joking. Yeah.
Well, like all politicians in this world now, it seems that if you can get elected, you can become pretty wealthy.
Right.
Pretty quick.
Yeah, exactly. And they were crying. When we were walking out going, ha ha, we're leaving, there were people in floods of tears. And it wasn't because, politically, we've lost and Brexit. No, it's because they knew that they wouldn't even be qualified to go and run the local library.
Yeah.
And yet they'd been raking in a ridiculous, eye-watering amount of money and tooling about like they were like an empress.
Not to mention the expenses, presumably, as well.
Yeah, so basically, you get paid something like... Oh, I can't remember what you get paid now, but... It's more than an MP. You get paid about 150, maybe.
MPs are getting about 95 grand.
Then you're only taxed 5%.
Right.
That's it. You just pay this special Brussels only tax. Then they give you £4,000 a month.
So you don't have to pay tax in your home country at all.
In theory, in the UK, they do double tax you.
Right.
But then you get this special allowance, which is £4,000 a month, which they just give to you in whatever bank account you say to put it in, which is to afford your office supplies.
Okay,
£4,000 a month for paper clips. You don't have to prove with any receipts. On top of all that, you then get £300 a day just for turning up.
Jesus. And so you get the sort of House of Lords benefit as well as the House of Commons salary.
Yeah. So you've got 150 grand a year, let's say.
Yeah.
Let's just say about 12 grand a month. Then you've got your 4 grand a month of your paperclip allowance. And then you've got probably another 6 grand a month, possibly, if you've turned up every single day and signed in.
That's unbelievable. Fucking hell. Well, I mean...
And basically all tax-free.
Yeah. And you guys were there for what, about a year and a half or something?
No, we weren't even there for 6 months.
Was it not that long?
No. If I'd been there for a year and a half, I'd have gone in every single day and I'd be driving around in a Lambo by now. getting our rebate.
Yes. But, I mean, that whole Brexit Party thing that then became Reform was quite a massive shift in politics in this country, wasn't it?
It's been amazing.
Such a difference. Because, I mean, people, when people say, when the lefties go, oh, Nigel Farage, apart, of course, they've stopped saying it now because he won an actual seat in Clapton. They used to say, oh, he's never won a seat, he'll never win anything. And I was like, well, hang on, they won the biggest parliamentary party majority in the European Parliament For years.
Right, I'm a proper OG because I actually first met Nigel in 2007.
Right.
Years ago now, so almost 20 years I've known him.
Yeah.
And I actually left the BBC, I was in the BBC talent pool scheme, which they're training me up to be the next whatever. And I left that after 6 months to go and work for UKIP. So this was back
So you could have been the next sort of Gary Lineker if you'd stayed at the BBC.
Yeah, could have been. Imagine it could have been next Nick Robinson.
Yeah, blimey.
But now they'd have sussed me out that I was Brexit and got me out before then. But no, this was 20 years I've been doing this, and it's amazing. When we first started, there was literally no staff. It was just me, basically, and a crazy guy called Gawain, God love him. And we didn't even have an office.
Yeah.
And it was always, going from pub to pub. We go to town halls and village halls and do these meetings, put letters through people's letterboxes saying, there's a local by-election, we're going to have a meeting in the local village hall. And you look at that and you wind the clock forward to date with people going, he's going to be the next Prime Minister. Yeah. And I think I've been along for the whole of it. Yeah. I've been there for the lot of it.
And has he changed, would you say, over that time?
No. If anything, he's calmed down a bit.
Not as long as you've known him, obviously, not as well as you've known him. And I got to know him because of you, because you introduced me to him years and years ago. Do you remember?
Yeah.
After the first time or the second time you came to the Tent of Shame. And we ended up in Boysdale getting pissed and smoking, because I think I still smoked in those days. And, he has literally, the guy that I met that day is exactly the same as the guy that I now speak to when I ever interview.
I think, if anything, he's working so hard at the moment.
Yeah, I know.
He
has to be
time,
careful, I suppose, he doesn't burn himself out.
Yeah, and every time, we're trying to organise a time to meet up, it's always like putting a date in the diary a month in advance, because he is working so hard. People have no idea. He always has done. He sleeps about 3 hours.
Right, but that's the whole beauty of the thing, and the bit that whenever I get Tory MPs on and they don't get it, and they talk about, I had one on today, in fact, we're recording this on Wednesday, and he was saying, I don't think the Robert Jenrick leaked report, which is bullshit anyway, about some kind of reformed conservative merger is ever going to happen, because we're going to destroy reform. And I went, don't you think it's the other way around?
Yeah,
actually,
really?
They're going to destroy you.
Most of these people are so venal and vainglorious. They want to be in politics because actually they want to be a celebrity.
Yeah.
They don't actually like politics. They don't care about it. They want to be a celebrity. They want to be the big I am in their constituency. Yeah. They want to be the person invited to prize giving, to hand out the kids' certificates. They want to be the one cutting the ribbon.
Yeah.
They want to be the one in the Palace of Westminster with all their staff and the shit that goes on in that building as well.
Well,
I've heard reports from a lot of parliamentary
aides,
the shit that goes on in there.
The ideal job for them then would be members of the European Parliament, because it sounds like that's perfect, where you get the fucking VIP treatment, you don't really have any responsibilities, you make plenty of money, and you don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
That's the ultimate politician's job then.
But then the only problem is, as an MEP, you didn't get, as much sort of recognition. You didn't have the sort of, local people going, and the opportunity once every now and then go on Politics Live. But these people want to be celebrities.
Yeah.
That's all it is. They don't actually believe in anything. Whereas Nigel does. Mm. The reason he's doing this is not for the fun and games of it, because he really, really fucking cares.
Yeah.
And he always has to.
Because
we
have been driven
into
the dust, haven't we, by the succession of useless fucking prime ministers. And I go all the way back to Gordon Brown, because until the end, Tony Blair, I thought, was quite a good Prime Minister.
Oh, he's evil, but
people,
he's sort of like,
had... go to me, I can't believe you liked Tony Blair. It's not that I liked him, but if you remember...
It wasn't embarrassing to have him as Prime Minister.
1997, the Tories were a busted flush. I mean, they were worse than they are now, in terms of John Major's crappy fucking government, and the idea that they had this back to basics policy of, we're all going to be, fine upstanding members of the moral squad, and they were all getting laid every fucking 5 minutes and shagging their nannies and all the rest of it. And then so when Blair came in, it was like a first young prime minister we'd had for a while. He had young kids, and I was, I wasn't even 40 yet. So for me, it seemed like a fucking new beginning of some kind.
Yeah.
And then it all went horribly wrong. But since then, we haven't had anybody decent. Cameron was bloody awful, and Osborne was crap. And then we had Theresa May.
Increasingly looks like a lesbian.
Yeah, may well be.
Do you not think? He's got shorter hair now, and he actually looks a bit like a lesbian.
Well, he's had some interesting stories written about him in the past, hasn't he?
Mm.
He's got some quite interesting pastime, shall we say. Mm. Maybe he's going to end up entering the trans debate as a trans... would he be a trans woman?
Oh, I don't know, because the other way around,
if you're a man who wants...
he
would be a trans woman if he was going to become a lesbian, wouldn't he? He'd have to be, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't understand trans men who want to be women... Trans, no.
Women want to be men. Trans
no, women
men,
who want to be trans
be.
Men. That's the one I don't
But then I always want to call them trans women as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you're a woman who wants to be a man, you're a trans man.
Once upon a time, you're just a butch lesbian, and that was fine.
I've never really seen the point of that, to be honest. But let's talk about Ed Miliband, because he's been in the news this week.
He's a nutter.
He really is fucking weird, isn't he?
He's so weird, and he's an absolute nutter and a zealot, and there's absolutely no self-awareness when he makes his weird little TikTok videos of ukuleles and raps and like, hey, guys.
Yeah.
He's just so fucking odd, and it's like we're allowing that guy, that fucking dweeb, to run the country into the ground, to completely kill off manufacturing, to go absolutely fucking crazy, spending money like the country's made of it on his absolute obsession with saving the world. And it won't do anything. No. It's just going to... And anybody with a fucking half a brain cell can see that this is going to destroy manufacturing, destroy the country. And he doesn't care. He's just obsessed.
And at worst of all, maybe sell everything off to the fucking Chinese.
Right, yeah.
Because, I mean, at least this week we've seen that they're saying, well, you're not allowed to use any Chinese goods that might have been produced by slaves.
Which is pretty much all of them.
Yes, you won't be able to buy anything but fucking China now.
I love
that. You won't buy solar panels, you can't buy windmills, you can't buy, you know, wind farms, equipment and all that sort of shit. But, I mean, this is the same guy who, when he was in Gordon Brown's government, environment minister, I think he was the one that told us all to buy diesel cars, because diesel cars are the future, and they're much better, and they last longer, and the fuel's cleaner.
Do you remember when he was actually leader of the Labour Party? Oh, my God. And the Edstone. The
Edstone, which I think is still in a cupboard somewhere down in Hastings, in Sussex.
They're just, it's so embarrassing. You kind of wonder when, you know, people turn up from the UK, a delegation comes from the UK to the UN or the, you know, what's going on at IMF at the moment. And this lot turn up. Yeah. People must be going fucking
Well, can you imagine what the IMF are making of fucking Rachel Reeves?
Yeah.
I mean, what the fuck are you going to make of her when she walks in and goes, I was an economist at the Bank of England.
Yeah, they all
really,
seem
were you?
Special needs.
Yeah. They all need to be on the spectrum.
Yeah, they're all weird. Mm. And you just think, I mean, this is what I can't wait. If Nigel becomes Prime Minister, it will put Britain in such massive global standing, because all of a sudden we're going to have an adult running the country who the rest of the world is going to stop and go, what's he going to do? A bit like they do with Trump.
Yes.
You know, what's he going to do? What's he going to say now? And what will happen, I reckon, is Nigel will end up carrying, if he becomes Prime Minister, carrying most of Europe.
Yeah.
Ironically, you know, having left the European Parliament, I reckon the EU will turn to him going, oh, Nigel, what should we do about Ukraine? Oh, Nigel, what should we do about America?
Yeah, you can see it happening.
I reckon they'll fawn all over
him. Because Europe, I mean, people say that Britain is in a bad way, but in terms of the IMF, actually, the growth outlook for the rest of Europe is even fucking worse. You know, they're really...
Yeah. Oh, you want to see a bad way, it's bloody Sweden. In Sweden, they've literally just got a load of foreigners bombing each other and a load of feral migrants raping up the women.
Yeah.
It's bad over there. Like, how a country has destroyed itself
and
in
Germany
10 years.
Is the same, right? Germany seems to have more people driving cars at fucking, you know, markets
so dark.
Than anything else they've
it's
got.
It's so dark.
Spain's got the same problem. France has got the same problem. You know, thanks to Angela Merkel, the entire fucking continent has been screwed.
She's fucked. Fucked it. We're going to become like a bloody entire Islamic caliphate by 2050 all because of that bloody woman.
No. It's not a very cheery thing to end on, but, you know, should we end on something cheery? Have you got any good news? Anything good? She hasn't got any good news.
I'm trying. I'm really trying.
What about the twins?
I liked them.
The twins, this week. Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
The people that talk
at the same time. They're sort of weird and sort of spectrumy enough to be in the Labour Party, actually.
You could put them in charge of the government,
couldn't you?
You could.
They'd do a better job.
And they would do a better job. They just come out together and just speak at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, my government says, blah.
Brilliant.
Fucking hell. All right. Well, listen, thanks for sitting in.
Yeah, pleasure.
It was very good. It's much more entertaining than talking to Kevin. Who just annoys everyone.
We spent the first 10 minutes slagging Kevin off. We're going to end with slagging Kevin off as well.
We're going to end up slagging Kevin off. I presume he's back next week.
He might not want to come back now. He might be like, fuck you. I'm going to go and eat my tuna sandwich.
He's down in Cornwall, where apparently a lot of the people down there don't like visitors. So maybe he's getting a bad time anyway. Yeah, he's an invader from London, from that London, you know, where we don't like people coming down here and buying houses, you know, it puts the prices up. It's not good. Anyway, Alex Phillips, a pleasure. Thank you very much indeed. I'll see you next week. Don't do anything fucking stupid. And if you see Kevin O'Sullivan, let us know. See ya.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now. Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No